Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 tonight. We're going to see the burden of the Apostle Paul. Of course, God used him in a great and mighty way, writing some 14 books in the New Testament. Paul loved God. Paul was obedient to God. And we look here in the book of Romans tonight. I want to read a few verses beginning in verse number 14. Paul said, "I am debtor. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now here in our text tonight, we're going to be preaching and we're going to see Paul's threefold burden. We're going to see the passion of his life. We're going to see the heartbeat of the man of God. We're going to see his preaching and his teaching and his witnessing of the grace of God. This burden that Paul carried drove him to evangelize a large part of his world in his day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, Paul said to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. Paul's desire was to take the gospel to the world. And beloved, we see his great burden for his nation Israel in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. We see the heart beat of the man of God there. We see that his heart's desire and prayer to God was that Israel to be saved. He prayed and he worked with his nation trying to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had a burden for their soul. Paul was a missionary evangelist, preaching the gospel of Christ and planting local churches as he went on his missionary journeys. A.W. Tozer called Paul the world's most successful Christian. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse number 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." We have two words there in that text, do and finish. Our Lord did the will of God on earth. He did exactly what his Father sent him to do. He never turned left nor right. He went right down the line doing exactly what his Father said for him to do. He was a very obedient son. He did the perfect will of God here on earth. And then, of course, we know that he went out on the cross and there he bled and died for sinners like you and I. And his last words on the cross was, "It is finished," meaning that salvation was complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had done the will of God and he had finished the course that God set him on. And beloved, we find in John 17 in verse 4 in that priestly prayer chapter where he said, "I have glorified thee on earth and I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." The Lord completed exactly what God sent him to do. He achieved the will of God and did the work, the atoning work of God Almighty here on earth, and gave up the ghost and, beloved, died for you and for me. Now, Paul did the exact same thing. He did the will of God and he finished his course. He said to us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Three times Paul says here, "I have, I have, I have," meaning that he had done the perfect will of God. He obeyed the Lord. He did the will of God here on earth. And of course, we know he finished what God sent him to do. And when he finished it, his head was taken off there at the prison in Rome, and he woke up in heaven shouting the victory. Amen. And you know, it's ironic tonight, and also it's a miracle of God that God would select one of his most aggressive opponents in the early church movement and make him into its most outstanding leader. Paul did a great work for God, and God used him mightily, and God blessed him and gave him souls along the way and planted many local churches, and we thank God for the work and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul knew some things, and because of what he knew, it made him go. So I want to preach tonight on this thought: what we know makes us go. Now, Paul knew something. We're going to see tonight where Paul said, I know, I owe, and I go. First of all, I know. What do you know, Paul? Verse 16. He said, I know that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Paul had experienced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Christ died for him and Christ bled for him and Christ was buried and he was resurrected on the third morning. And beloved, because of that, Christ met him on the road to Damascus and he was cast down by a blinding light. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ met him there. And beloved, he trusted Christ there on the Damascus road as his Lord and Savior. Beloved, that power of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, went to work in his life and changed him totally and completely. Paul said, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You say, Paul, how do you know that? Well, first of all, he said, because of its contents. Notice there in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God is the theme of the book of Romans. We find the word gospel 13 times here in this book. And beloved, notice in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Beloved, Paul said, I know because of its contents. Beloved, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. It's the dunamis of God. And beloved, God takes that gospel and saves, and that gospel cleanses, and that gospel changes lives totally and completely. And Paul was a trophy of grace. Paul had experienced the gospel, and the gospel changed his life totally and completely and gave him something worth living for. Thank God, saved him by the grace of God. And that power, that death, burial, and resurrection, that's the gospel in a nutshell. You can preach the death, you can preach the burial, but unless you preach the resurrection along with it, you don't have a full gospel. Amen? And apart from the gospel, nobody is saved. Amen. Now, my son-in-law, he pastors there in our area in North Carolina, and he talks about this power here. He said that it's the miraculous power of Almighty God. He said it's the power that God exhibited to raise Jesus from the dead. He said the power of the resurrection is what we need to hold us fast in the midst of spiritual warfare. It's the unregulated power operating in us. It's Holy Ghost power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And beloved, that power is in the heart and life of every believer through the Holy Spirit of God. It's that power that gets you up. It's that power that stands you up. It's that power that keeps you up. It's that power that pushed hell back. It's that power that pushed the devil back. It's the power of Almighty God. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord. Now, it's silly for you and I to try to be strong in ourselves. He didn't say be strong in yourself. He said be strong in the Lord. That's the only way you and I can be strong. We must lean on the Lord. We must trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That might and power of Almighty God is what enables the church to live above the world that they live in. Oh, it's the mighty power of Almighty God. And Paul said, I know that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you would take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read here as Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he says in verse 18, chapter 1, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Look down at verse 23. He said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now Paul says in verse 18 that the cross is the power of God. And it is. And he says down in verse 24 that Christ is the power of God. And he is. Now, beloved, we cannot separate Christ from the cross, nor the cross from Christ. If we do, we're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're preaching a false gospel, which there are none. Now, listen, Paul knew the gospel was and is the power of God. Jesus said in John 12, and verse 32, he said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Now, beloved, we need to lift up Jesus in our preaching. We need to lift up Jesus in our living. We need to lift up Jesus in our teaching. We need to lift up Jesus in anything and everything that we do, because he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." Amen. So we need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 25, he said he delivered us from our offenses and raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, out from among the dead. And beloved, because of that, we are justified from our sin. What does that mean, preacher? It means as if we have never sinned. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend that statement. It's hard for us to take that in, because we are sinners. And but yet, we're saved by the grace of God. But, beloved, Jesus Christ has justified the believer in Christ. And he did that by his resurrection, by that power of Almighty God. He took the blood that he shed to the mercy seat there in heaven. And God Almighty accepted that payment for our sins. Hallelujah. And because of that, you and I have our sins forgiven. We have our names written down in the book of life forever and ever. And when Jesus comes, we're going up to meet him. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. For the gospel and its power. We must lift up Jesus. Paul said, because of its contents, that's how I know. See, Paul knew something. And because of what he knew, it kept him going. And what we know makes us go. You and I have experienced the gospel. We that are saved by the good grace of God, we experience that gospel truth in our lives. We personally met Christ as our Savior, and beloved, because of that, he has changed us totally and completely. And beloved, because of what you and I know, we know the power of the gospel. We know it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And beloved, because of that, that makes us keep on going. That's why we go out and knock on doors. That's why we hand out tracts. That's why we tell people about the saving grace of Almighty God. Paul said, "I know something. I know it because of its contents." But wait a minute, there's something else. He said, "I know it because of its converts." Verse 5 through 8. In chapter 1 of Romans, verse 5 through 8. For time's sake, I'm going to just read verse 8. Notice he said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith," notice that, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, Paul was writing to a group of believers there in Rome. And, beloved, they had experienced the gospel power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, they had trusted Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and He had changed them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. They were new creatures in Christ, and beloved, they were telling it everywhere they went. They told on Jesus. They told everybody what the Lord had done for them, and because of that, their faith was being spoken of throughout the world. Beloved, I'm telling you, if you live for Christ, if you walk with God, talk God, speak Christ, and witness wherever you go, hey, your faith is going to be spoken of. They're going to tell people about you and your work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, Paul said because of its converts, they had experienced that dunamis power of Almighty God, which is the dynamite power of God. Beloved, I mean powerful to take away our sins. Powerful to place our name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Power to wash our sins away. Thank God forevermore. There's not a nut too hard that God cannot crack. Now, I'm sure you've been praying. Prayer list, you're in the church this morning. You're praying church, and I know you've got somebody on your... How many of you are praying for somebody specifically to be saved? Family, friend, whatever. That's what I thought. Everybody in here, no doubt. You're saved. You got a burden for souls. And, beloved, you're praying. Let me say tonight, don't stop. Don't stop. Because, hey, that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And, beloved, listen, you keep on praying for them. Because God Almighty, in His time, He can do something that we cannot do. I was preaching I guess it's been 2 or 3 months ago now, there in North Carolina, in our immediate area, in one of our supporting churches. And the pastor and his wife told me this story. They said, Brother Drake said, we have prayed for our daughter for 54 years to be saved. Boy, I said, my goodness. He said, preacher, so we prayed for her. We've asked God time and time and time and time again that He would convict her of her sins and draw her to the saving grace of God. And he said, preacher, about 2 months ago, he said, she fell on her face before God under Holy Ghost conviction and asked God to forgive her of her sins and asked the Lord Jesus to come in her heart and save her soul. He said, she's followed the Lord in baptism. She's joined the church. She's serving the Lord. Hey, listen to me tonight. Prayed 54 years. How long have you been praying for that friend, that loved one? I know sometimes you get weary. Sometimes you say, what's the use? Hey, don't stop praying. God still answers prayer. And the gospel is still the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul knew that, and that's what kept Paul going. And beloved, what we know tonight makes us go. Paul said, I know it's the power of God because of its contents. I know it's the power of God because of its converts. But also I know it's the power of God because of its consequences. Paul knew that those who rejected Christ and died in that state, they'd go to a devil's hell. And they'd spend eternity in damnation. Notice there in chapter 1 in verse 18, Paul said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul knew that the wrath of God was abiding above the head of every unbeliever. And beloved, John said in John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Again in John 3:36, John said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul knew those who rejected Christ would die and go to hell. David, look at with me for a moment in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. In verse number 7, the Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a blessed promise. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, if Jesus tarries his coming, everybody in this building, lost or saved, is going to die. That's the wages of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We die because of the results of sin. Physically die. And even saved folks, listen, if Jesus tarries, we're going to die once. Child of God only dies one time if Jesus tarries. Now, if he doesn't tarry, he's coming while we're still alive and remain, we're going to go up and meet him in the air in the rapture. Amen? But let's just say, hey, we're all going to die one time. But that person that rejects Christ, they're going to die physically, but also they're going to die spiritually for all eternity in hell fire. And that's the second death he's talking about here in Revelation 21. Oh, my friend, tonight, if you're not saved, I beg you tonight to realize the threat that's upon you tonight. If you die without Christ, you're doomed and damned for all eternity. You need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you'll come to him and believe on him and trust him, he'll save you by the good grace of God. Paul knew that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone. And he knew the consequences for one to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and die in that state. He knew that they'd go to a Christless eternity. Oh, his heart was moved. It was full of compassion for lost souls. That's what kept him going, kept him moving, kept that burden before him and the Lord. He did all that was in his power to see men and women come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Everything in his power. Paul had a burden for the lost and dying world in which he was living. And he did everything that was in his power to get that gospel out. God called him to preach. And beloved, take that gospel to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad he did? Because really, because he went and preached where he preached, there in Europe, that gospel finally made its way over to America. Amen? And you and I know each other now because of the gospel. The gospel has brought us together. We'd have never met at the gospel if we had not received the gospel. But thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we know makes us go. Notice also Paul said, not only do I know, but he says, I owe. Notice verse 14. He said, I'm a debtor. I'm in debt. I owe big time. My goodness. Paul had been saved by the grace of God, and he owed Christ everything. That was his greatest debt, was to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. Paul was so influenced by the love which Christ had shown in dying for all men. The love of Christ causes us to love after the similitude of that love by which we are influenced. As God so loved the world as to give his Son for it, and as Christ so loved the world as to pour out his life for it, so we, influenced by the very same love, desire to spend and be spent for the glory of God and the salvation of immortal souls. That love of Christ, constraining us, guiding us, directing us, the love of Christ that will not let us go. Thank God. Paul's theme was Christ. He lived for Christ. He loved Christ. And Paul, as we all do, Paul owed Christ everything. Christ did everything for the Apostle Paul. And Paul loved him with all his mind, soul, and body. And beloved, he thanked God for what Christ had done for him. And beloved, he knew that he was in debt up to his neck. And beloved, he did everything possibly to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a whole heart. And beloved, God used him greatly and mightily because of that. But Paul said, I'm a great debtor. And beloved, you and I tonight, we are great debtors. We that are saved by the grace of God. Christ has done something for us that nobody else would do or could do. He went to the cross and shed his blood for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. And beloved, he was resurrected that we might be justified before an almighty, holy, just God. He did for us that which we could not or could never do for ourselves. And because of that, we are debtors just as Paul. And beloved, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. I think I quoted this verse this morning. But chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, under the Old Testament economy, they brought those dead sacrifices. I mean, they took an animal and killed that animal and took that blood. And, beloved, that blood atoned for their sins. But, beloved, God, in this day of grace, this day of the church age, God's not looking for a dead sacrifice. He's looking for a living sacrifice. He wants us to give him our lives totally and completely and lay our bodies on the altar of God as a living sacrifice and love him and serve him until he comes. You and I owe him our very life tonight. The least we can do is give ourselves in service. The least we can do is give ourselves on the altar of God and go at his bidding call and serve him wherever he may lead us or wherever he may call us. We ought to just be up and ready to go whenever the call comes ringing our way. As a little cliche or the little song we sung, maybe you've sung it, you know, or you've heard it sung before, it goes something like this. I owe. And off the work I go. Well, that was Paul. He was serving Christ. That ought to be you and I tonight. Every believer should be totally dedicated and totally, completely in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, he said, which is your reasonable service? It's nothing unreasonable for you and I to serve Christ. Whether it be here in our hometown or whether it's across the world in another nation somewhere. Nothing unreasonable about that whatsoever. Nothing unreasonable for us to give our tithes to the church and do what God's called us to do. Nothing unreasonable for us to serve God where we are, on the job, whatever the case might be. God's never asked us to do anything unreasonable. And by the way, we're not in this thing alone, my friend. He's right with us every single step, providing every need we have, giving us power to serve him every single day. Oh, listen, if a man's honest, he'll pay his debts. Amen? Paul said, I'm a debtor. I believe if a man's honest, he'll give his tithes to a local church. Now, the tithes go in the general fund, and, beloved, that takes care of all the expense of the church, whatever that expense might be, power, something needs to be fixed, whatever it might be, something needs to be replaced. Hey, take care of the pastor and his family well. Whatever it means, that's where the tithes go. I believe an honest man will give the faith promise so the gospel can be preached around the world, so sinners everywhere and anywhere can be saved and hear that gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen, that faith promise, thank God for this church, a great faith promise. I thank God for the missionaries you support. I thank God. I know you're giving. But, beloved, that's given so others can go. Maybe you can't go, but others can go in your place, like myself. And then, of course, I believe if a man's honest, he'll witness to the lost people. wherever he may be, down at Walmart, down at the doctor's office, down there at the gas station, wherever. He's got some tracts in his pocket, and he'll pull one out anywhere and everywhere and share it with somebody face to face and tell them what Jesus has done for them. I preach a message sometime on tell on Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to tell on him and tell this world what wondrous works he's done in our life. Amen? Just go tell on him. That's the will of God for you and I. Beloved, this saving gospel is too precious and too powerful. It would be a grievous sin tonight to withhold it from the world. All people need to hear the gospel. All people need the Lord Jesus Christ. All people. There's 7.3 billion people in the world tonight, and the majority has never heard Jesus, never heard the gospel. And the Lord Jesus said to the church, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've carried this constraining burden of this debt for 50 years. It's still the great motivation of my life. And as Paul, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, my friend, tonight we must get the gospel out. That's the only hope for the dying soul. Never can one be saved apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection. Paul knew that. You and I know that. And Paul said, I owe. And you and I owe tonight. And what we know makes us go. Paul said, I know. I owe. And then he said, I go, verse 15. Notice there what he said. He said, I am ready. Paul was on the line waiting for God to call, to send him in any direction to preach the gospel. Paul said, I preached it at Antioch. I preached it at Athens. I preached it at Ephesus. I preached it at Corinth, and now I'm ready to preach it at Rome also, if the Lord permits. I'm ready. I'm setting on go. I'm ready to go. Paul was prepared. He was studied up, prayed up, fired up, and full of the Holy Ghost of God, and he was looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to direct his path. In John 15, we have that vine and branch chapter. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And but he said something in verse 5 that really gets my attention. He said, without me ye can do nothing. Without me nothing's done. Nothing's accomplished. Zilch. Zero. Without me. Beloved, do you think for one moment that my wife and I have traveled this world? Do you think we went to Germany? Do you think we went to Spain in our name and our strength? No! We went in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We went in his power and his strength. Because we know we have no strength, no power of our own. We cannot do it without him. It would all be in vain. Yet Paul said this, Philippians 4 and verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. There's that power. Which strengtheneth me. There's that power that we need to serve God. And beloved, it's available to you. It's available to me. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can't do nothing without him, but we can do all things with him. What a promise. Paul said, I go. He was prepared and he was consecrated. Notice there in verse 15 what he said. He said, so as much as in me is. Every fiber of Paul's being was on go for Jesus Christ. He was saying, I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm looking. I'm ready to go. He said, in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, in the fervor of all my emotions, in the force of my voice, I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift of all gifts. He's above and beyond every gift. He's the most precious thing you and I tonight possess, the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, you know, these 2,000 plus years, I mean, hey, we've only scratched the surface. He said there in Ephesians 3:8, he said, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, hey, we've just touched here and there. We've scratched the surface. But we read over in Ephesians chapter 2 that in the ages to come, he's going to share those riches of his grace with us. Beloved, Jesus Christ is everything. He's altogether lovely. He's our buckler. He's our high tower. He's our refuge. He's altogether lovely. And beloved, tonight, he is precious. And we should love him and serve him until he comes or until he should call us out and we'd go into his presence. Christ and his gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And as Paul, I owe my life, and so does every Christian. Beloved, we owe him everything tonight. We have a poem that says, hear the Lord of the harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will be quick to answer thee. Speak, Lord, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Are you ready to go tonight? Let me say this, beloved. You can't stay until you're willing to go. Have you ever got on your face before God and said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I think all of us at one time or another said that in our Christian life. Did we mean it? Or are we just blowing smoke in the face of God? Listen tonight. How many of you tonight would be willing to pray and consider me? Now, this is a mission-hearted church. You have a mission-hearted pastor. I know you love souls. I know you love missions. This is why this church exists, that they might win souls and send out missionaries around the world. That's what a New Testament church is. Amen? My Lord. So let me ask that question. How many tonight? This is my challenge. I want you to catch the burden of the Apostle Paul. He said, I know, I owe, and I go. And beloved, what we know makes us go. You and I have personally experienced the saving grace of Almighty God. Saved by the grace of God, secure in Christ. And beloved, on our way to heaven, nothing's going to stop that. But in the meanwhile, would you pray and consider missions? I tell you, everywhere we go since this pandemic hit, a line is formed. I mean, we went to one restaurant today and we didn't even get out of the car. We just couldn't hardly get out of the parking lot once we got in there. I mean, so many cars going to and fro and people all outside waiting to get in. And that's the way it is most restaurants today, standing in line. Hey, if your bank is like my bank down in Hildebrand, North Carolina, you'll stand in line tomorrow to make a deposit. If you go down to Walmart to check out, you're going to stand in line. If you go to Kohl's, you're going to stand in line probably longer than any other place I've been in lately. Amen? But I know one place you won't have to stand in line. There's no line formed in missions. The door's wide open. the Lord said, the field is white already unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Would you pray and consider missions? You say, preacher, I'm too old. Who told you that? I hadn't found any age limit anywhere in the Word of God. You're never too young to serve God, and you're never too old to serve God. I was 62 years old when God called me into missions. I hit the tarmac in Germany on my 63rd birthday. And I turned 72 in May. You don't get too old. You're not too young. There may be a young couple here, and there might be an older couple here tonight that could just give their life to the Lord in missions, mission work. You pray about that. God wants to use you in a great and mighty way. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. I wonder who he was talking to. He was talking to you and me, friend. Amen. What an opportunity we have tonight. Oh, we have the means, we have the message. But the labors are few. Let's all stand together tonight. Pastor, you come. What we know tonight, beloved, listen to me, what we know makes us go. That's why I can't stop. That's why I can't quit. I know too much. Amen? And I owe too much. And I'm ready to go tonight. I'm looking forward to this armed ministry with Baptist International Missions going around the world, preaching the gospel to our men and women in uniform and even to other English-speaking works as the need may arise. You pray for the Drakes as we go.